Good morning again. Glad to see you again, and maybe some that didn't make it to the class but are here now. And always enjoy, look forward to coming here and being with the good brethren here at Port Lavaca. I would like you to open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3, and we will be primarily in that chapter. We'll go beyond it a time or two, but we're not going to read the whole chapter either. It's 30 verses long, though we will read some parts of it. What a great story we have here. You know, as I mentioned in our class, these Old Testament stories have so much meaning and so much application for all of us. And this one is no different. I think it has application for all of us, but I think it has some very, very special application to our younger folks. And because they need to know, there were young men, women in the Bible that faced a lot of challenges and difficulties and remained true to God. And you need to know that. You need to remember that. You're not alone. You're walking in tremendously great steps of those long before. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we could throw Daniel in as well, though he's a lesson of his own, are certainly three young men to look up to. I love to do this lesson when I have opportunity to speak to younger folks, because I think they need to know that you're not in this alone. And young people in the Bible have chosen God, rather, and we're going to see here a king of a land. So to set this up, I'm going to go through the chapter. I'm going to summarize parts of the chapter, and then we'll read parts of the chapter. But if you have Daniel 3 opened up, you know that they're going to find out to stand up for God, sometimes you got to go through a trial. And there's no question here, this is the severest of trials. They are in a foreign land. We know that they were in Babylonian captivity. And they have to serve under a foreign king. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. And I'll summarize verses 1 through 7 without reading it all. He issues a command for all people to worship an image. No exceptions. Now that's the king's decree. And he expected that everybody would comply to the king's decree. Babylon was the greatest power of the world at the time. They ruled the world in a sense. So that makes him the most important man in the world, most of the world at the time. And he issues a clear decree, verses 1 through 7, that cannot be denied, that he has an image and he wants everybody to bow down to it. And he gets word that there's three young Jewish men that refuse to comply. And that's going to get his attention. And therefore, brethren, in verses 8 through 12, which we are going to read, he makes it crystal clear. I'm sorry, there's an accusation against them. I'm not going to read that. There is, to the king's ear, hey, king, holy one, here's three men that refuses to comply to your decree. And you just don't do that. And the king is so angry when he hears that they refuse to comply, because you don't say no to King Nebuchadnezzar. He will personally call him out. Now, how would you like to be a young Jewish lad? I don't know exactly how old they were. They were young. And you are standing up because of your values and your faith in God against the mightiest man of the world. And he's about to call you out personally. So, brethren, let's read verses 13 through 15. They make the accusation against him. By the way, I did want to read that little part right above it. Verse 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So they had positions in his government, didn't they? They had positions in his government. That made it doubly wrong for them to refuse to comply. These men, O God, have not regarded thee. They have not regarded thee. They serve not your gods, nor will they worship the golden image which thou hast set up. King, you need to know this. I doubt these people liked them anyway. This would be a good time to get rid of them, won't it? We want you to know, under your very feet are three men that not regard your decree, and they refuse to worship your golden image. And Nebuchadnezzar now will get personally involved. So you know it's serious, right? Read with me, if you have your Old Testaments, Daniel 3, 13 through 15. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring these three to him. Oh my. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Is it of purpose, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you serve not my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut, the psaltery and the dulcimer, all kinds of music." Now, you're going to do the right thing, right? You're going to do the right thing. You hear all the music, you hear all the songs, and you will fall down and worship that image which I have made. And then he really puts it on the line. You're going to do it, or else. If you do not worship my image, you'll be cast the very same hour in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And here's where he taunts God, doesn't he? This sounds like Pharaoh when Moses was bringing the plagues, and Pharaoh arrogantly taunting, "Who is this God that you're telling me about?" in defiance and arrogance toward Moses. And of course, Moses gave him several commandments, didn't he, of who he is? You want to know who he is? Okay. Here he is. Of course, Pharaoh had that hard heart, didn't he? But again, verse 15. Who is that God? That's defiance, isn't it? Arrogance. Who is that God? That you worship. Wow. And you think you've been in a bad spot before? Now, brethren, obviously, that's a real threat, isn't it? About as strong as it gets. You will bow down to my golden image, or you will be thrown into the fiery furnace. That means you're going to die. You've got a choice. Bow down and live, or refuse to comply and die. Now, they could have had an easy way out of this. You've heard the phrase, the path of least resistance. They could have had an easy way out of this. They could have conformed outwardly, you know, and still had in their heart their devotion to God. But, you know, rationalize. We'll go along with it. We still don't believe it. But we'll conform outwardly, and that'll save our lives. They could have done that. But they had a problem, didn't they? These three young men, I'd like to admit their parents, because they were taught well. And they knew the law. They were strong in their faith. They had to be. They knew the Old Testament. That's a tribute to their parents who had taught them. And they were firm in their beliefs. And they knew what the Ten Commandments clearly said about bowing down to false idols. I'm not going to turn to it, but in Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5, God could have not been more clear, could he? God was clear in the Ten Commandments. You don't do that. And when Israel foolishly did that, remember, with the golden calf, God demonstrated his anger toward them, disobeying the Ten Commandments. And these three young men lived under that law, and they were aware of that law, and they knew if they would have done what the king was asking them to do, they would have, yes, broken his decree, but a higher God they had to account to, and that'd be Jehovah God. So yeah, they could have conformed outwardly, but that would have meant disobedience to God. And you know what? Things don't change. We can have that same sort of thing happen today in our country that we love, as it's growing more and more hostile toward Christianity. I have a lot of admiration for our Vice President, Mike Pence. Because he has made it clear he's a Christian man. He's not ashamed of that. And you think that's cost him a little bit of fire? He doesn't seem to care. Bring it on. I have my beliefs. I'm not ashamed of them. Now, he could have been quiet about it, knowing that he's going to get a lot of flack and he's going to get a lot of criticism because he... Now, I don't know what he is religiously. I assume he's denominational. But to have that kind of courage to let, in a political world where there's a lot of hostility, to let that be known and be willing to take that knowing what is coming, I admire immensely. Because you and I can face this same kind of trial. And you do realize, brethren, we have brethren in our world today, in hostile countries, trying to worship God right now where they are, and they are in danger of their life because they refuse to bow down to a golden image or to a dictator, and they refuse to do that, and they continue their faithfulness to God. That is commendable to me. It's real easy to do it in here, isn't it? Get out there in the world where you face the criticism and the hostility and the ridicule and the scorn. Tends to make us quiet, doesn't it? Of course, we don't want that. We don't need that. We don't want that. But as Paul told Timothy years ago, in 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly, some of you can fill in the blank, can't you? Shall suffer persecution. If you stand up for God, get ready, it's coming. They will laugh at you, young folks. They will try to embarrass you. They will try to undermine you. They'll do everything they can to make you look foolish. And it'd be easy to conform outwardly, wouldn't it? Very easy. And by the way, this can happen to us who are older as well. Yeah, we could conform outwardly to go along with the crowd. But could we live with ourselves? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have conformed outwardly, but could they have really lived with themselves? No. They couldn't have, and they didn't, as we're going to see. But they had that choice, and we have that choice. I think of our brethren in the first century of the church. They had their own challenge, didn't they? Call Caesar. And it got right down, one of the most humbling books I've ever read is Fox's Book of Martyrs. And it's about yay thick. And it's all about the persecutions, the early Christians, and how they were persecuted and how they were treated shamefully. And the Romans came up with every possible way you could think of to torture and kill somebody and harass them and intimidate them. It's depressing. And you know what they would say, the Roman emperors that really dished it out, like Nero from 54 to 68 AD, and the really, really bad one was Domitian from 81 to 96. I think he is the emperor in mind in the book of Revelation. I mean, he made persecution empire-wide. At least Nero confined it to Rome, but Domitian spread it everywhere, and it really got down to this. Hail Caesar! Or you die. That's what it got down to. You either bow down because Caesar looked at himself as a god, you bow down to Caesar, and you dare not do so. Or I will let you see me ravage and kill your wife right before your eyes. Kill your children right before your eyes. We're going to save you. I talk about the man. We're going to save you for last. I don't want you to see what's going to happen to your family before you go down. Story after story after story of that in Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I'm so humbled when I read those stories. It would have been so easy to conform outwardly, right? Well, you know, I will bow down. I don't really believe he's a god. But, you know, I want to save my life and my family. So I'll bow down outwardly, and you'll go along to get along. And then could you live with yourself? Apparently, a lot of early Christians could not do that. So they paid the ultimate price because of their faith. And we have brethren doing that right now. I see in the state of California, they're trying to pass. Of course, California is about land of fruit and nuts, right? So am I really surprised they're trying to pass a law to prevent preachers, pastors from preaching on subjects like same-sex marriages and homosexuality? You're breaking the, if they get that law passed, if you're a preacher, you're going to be found guilty of breaking the law. If you choose to talk about those subjects from the pulpit. Well, I have no motivation to move to California, but if that ever happens here, I'm going to jail. And I'm depending on the brethren to bail me out, right? Please bail me out of here. We must obey God rather than man. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Apostles understood that, didn't they? Peter said that. We must obey God rather than man if it conflicts with God's higher law. Now, yes, they went through a trial. You and I are going to face these. Don't think we can get away from it. If all who live godly shall suffer persecution. I don't care what age we are. We let it be known what we stand for, who our allegiance is to. In our hostile environment today, it's coming your way. Now, you can avoid it. You can run from it. You can conform outwardly to it. But can you live with yourself if you do? By the way, brethren, back in Daniel chapter 3, boy, did they demonstrate their faith. And that's why I wanted that song led by our brother. Because they demonstrated their faith right here where it all counts. Look back in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, and there's no hesitation here. They didn't have to debate this among themselves. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. What faith they have in verse 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But I love their attitude in verse 18. But if he chooses not to, we believe he will. But if he chooses not to, I want you to know, king, we will not serve your gods. We will not worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Wow, that's great. Wow, I'm humbled by their faith. They made it public. And they told the greatest man of the day, the king, straightforward to his face, "We believe God will deliver us, but even if he chooses not to, that's okay. We're not going to serve you. We're not going to bow down to your God no matter what. So do what you must do." What a great testimony. They determined to serve God. Young people, are you listening? They determined to serve God no matter what. Yeah, my schoolmates may laugh at me. They might make fun of me. But I'm serving God no matter what. And if you're very, very blessed, you'll find some other young people at school that feel the same way. And they're going to be drawn to you. And you may have more friends than you believe. You stand up for God. But even if you don't, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "This is what we must do." You know, it reminds me of a statement the Lord made. Don't lose Daniel 3, but I know that you're familiar with this. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, and sometimes I think, brethren, we kind of go over this way too quick. We'll go to it when we're going down the plan of salvation, and that's perfectly appropriate, but I don't think we really think the power. In Matthew 10, 32 and 33, "Everyone, therefore, who will confess me before men," that's what they're doing, isn't it? "Him will I confess before my Father who's in heaven." Do you think God is with us when we have those moments of trial? Better believe he is. You're not alone. You may feel alone. You're not alone. Because when you stand up for him, he's confessing you before God. And the negative side of it, brethren, "But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who's in heaven." So we could have our moment, couldn't we? I'll never forget, years and years ago, Janet and I went to a lectureship many years ago in Abilene, and Brother Johnny Ramsey was the speaker on that occasion. Y'all know him. He's going to tell it like it is. And he was assigned the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and boy, did he lay it out just as the Bible teaches. And he got hissed and booed and scorned by the audience. Do you think he cared? A whole lot. Took a lot of courage to go into a hostile den of robbers and say what needed to be said, knowing that you're going to get negative consequences if you do it. And these young men knew what was going to happen to them. So they demonstrated their faith. They determined to serve God no matter what. I want to mention some Old Testament characters just in passing. Like Job did in Job chapter 1. Job was in great affliction, but he never renounced God in spite of it. Didn't understand it all, but he stayed true to God. Job 1, 20 and 21. The prophet Habakkuk was suffering, and yet he never turned away from God. He was in his suffering. He's still holding on to God. Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. And of course, we know the apostles did too. In Acts chapter 5, verse 27 and 29, they stayed firm. Brethren, you know I'm a history teacher, and I got a little bit of history to share with you, and it won't take long. Some of you have heard the name Polycarp, right? Polycarp was a disciple of John the Apostle. He learned under his feet. We all know John lived to an old age, and Polycarp actually was instructed by John the Apostle, and he's finally going to be threatened with burned at the stake or else deny his name. And I'd like you to read what as they're torching the wood and they're about to burn him up, I would like to read to you what he was praying as this happened to him. Quote, O Lord God Almighty, the Father of thy beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the knowledge of thee, the God of angels and powers, all creation of the whole race of the righteous who live in thy presence. Understand, as he's saying this, the flames are rising. I bless thee, for thou hast granted me this day and hour that I might receive a portion amongst the member of martyrs in the cup of Christ under resurrection of eternal life, both of soul and body, in the incorruptibility of the Holy Spirit. May I be received among these in thy presence this day as a rich and acceptable sacrifice, as thou didst prepare and reveal it beforehand and hast accomplished it, that thou art the faithful and true God. For this cause and for all things I praise thee. I mean, he's getting burned to death. I praise thee. I praise thee. I bless thee. I glorify thee. Through the eternal and heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son, to whom with him and the Holy Spirit be glory both now and for the ages to come. Amen. And then the fire is consumed him. Wow. That's a strong faith that's willing to make that kind of testimony when everything's on the line. Your life, all he had to do is bow down to Caesar. They wouldn't have killed him. But he couldn't have lived with himself if he had done that. Well, there's a happy ending in this story. We know that these three young, God will spare them. They will survive the furnace and they will triumph. They are delivered from the fiery furnace. That's in Daniel chapter 3, verses 19 through 25. And there was two, is that right? Blessings. There were two blessings that came out of this as we close. I want to read Daniel chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I think their faith made an impression on the king. Look in Daniel 3:26. Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning furnace, and he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of, notice what he said, the Most High God, come forth and come here. Then they came forth out of the fire, and the satraps and the deputies and the governors and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men. The fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their head even singed. Neither were their hosen changed, nor had the smell of fire passed on them. And notice what Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he sees this. In verse 28, he spake and he said, what, I can't believe I'm hearing this. Blessed be the God, this is Nebuchadnezzar, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servants that trusted, notice, trusted in him, have changed the king's word and have yielded their bodies that they might not serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut in pieces. Their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that is able to deliver after this sort. Wow. All because they said no. And God spared them. And the king is influenced by it, isn't he? Made an impression on him. And you can make an impression on others when you do the same. Now, in their case, brethren, as a result, they were promoted. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 30, they were promoted to even higher positions in Nebuchadnezzar's government. And it's all because they said no to his image. God spared them. And now Nebuchadnezzar is defending their God and don't let anybody say anything bad about their God. And he even promoted them to higher positions. That kind of reminds me of Joseph, doesn't it? He also was promoted to a high position when he endured wrong, didn't he? Second in command to Pharaoh. Now that may not get us a promotion like they got, But it will give us a promotion as far as God is concerned. And remember the verse in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death." And did you know that means the literal point of dying for the faith? I mean, you want to be faithful till you're old, as long as you live. But here it meant to the very point of death, "Be thou faithful unto death, even if your life is on the line, and I will give you the crown of life." So that's a reward, isn't it, for standing up for God? And again, you may not get a promotion in this life, but God is watching and noticing. What an inspirational story this is for all of us. So I hope when you go through your trial and those who come after you and try to belittle you and make fun of you and scorn you because of your faith, that you'll have the courage they had. And God is watching all the way, and He will reward you for your faithfulness. And I think He will in this life, but especially in the one to come. So the lesson is yours. And it applies to all of us, no matter what age. Because the world is hostile toward us. And it's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse the way I see it. And hopefully we'll have that courage and that bravery and that boldness in a nice way, in a kind way, not in an arrogant way. The Lord said, when you deal with people, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Stand up for God, and He will reward you if you do. In an audience of this size, there may be someone here that is contemplating their future, their salvation. Maybe you have not obeyed the gospel. And God is clear about the steps that one needs to take to do that. We know it all culminates in baptism. As Saul was told with his ungodly life before Christ, "And now why tarriest thou, Saul? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." And maybe that's what you need. I'm sure there's water available. But maybe you have not stood up for God, and you know in your heart, "I have failed." And God said, "That's okay. You get lots of chances with me." And maybe you need public prayers to help you in your trials that you're facing in your situations, young or old. If any of you have a spiritual need, let us know as we stand and sing.